This is WGBB AM 1240 and W240 DF FM 95.9 Freeport, New York.
All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, April 15th, 2017. Glorious day outside, glorious day to talk some golf, glorious day to play some golf, and looking forward to today's show. My good friend Tom Kaplan, North Hempstead Country Club superintendent, is going to be joining me in just a few minutes. Talk a little bit about his Masters experience. Should be fun and agonizing all in the same, but it'd be interesting. We hear all the time about people going to the Masters and their first time experiences, but rarely do we hear from someone who can talk about it from not only from the patron side of it, but from the from an agronomy side of it, or the green side of the business as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing that part aspect of it, knowing that although we know that it's a little unfair to compare Augusta to anywhere else in the world given the unlimited budget that they have, but still nonetheless be interesting to get an interesting perspective from the green side. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in 1 minute, and when we're back with Tom Kaplan, North Hempstead Country Club superintendent, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabiel has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined on the line with Tom Kaplan, North Hempstead Country Club superintendent, good friend of the program, good friend of mine. How you doing, Tommy?
Great, Anthony. How are you?
What's happening? Are you have you recovered from your little trip to at the other end of the rainbow, or what?
Well, when you have three young kids and you have a golf course to come back to, you recover the time that the wheels touch ground in New York again. So, you know, it was right back into the fire, but you know, that's how everybody does it that has young kids and that has a job to come back to. So it's all good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we get to your, they have a good way. Kids have a interesting way of giving you a reality check. There's no question about that. But before we get to that, I just wanted to say thank you for joining the On Par program as a sponsorship. If you could talk a little bit about that synergy and why you thought it was a good idea.
Sure, yeah. Well, really, it's we're co-sponsoring your show. The Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association is a co-sponsor. And, we wanted to thank you for including us this year. We think it gives us it gives the program and listeners in our association in particular some great exposure into really what superintendents deal with, not only on the golf course, but what we deal with off the golf course, too. As you know, and anybody knows, obviously, that deals with golf courses and, taking care of things out in the environment and growing world, environmental conservation is at the forefront of a lot of legislative agendas, particularly on Long Island. So, not only is it important that we communicate, to the golfing players out there, what we do on the golf course, but also it's important that we demonstrate our stewardship. So, I think this is a great opportunity to be able to do that, and we're proud to, as an association, to sponsor the program.
Well, you know, it's a two-way street, so I really appreciate the fact that you're sponsoring the program, because it gives not only me the ability to keep doing what I'm doing, and I love doing it and talking golf in Long Island, but I don't think, you know, it's just one of those, golf is one of those sports, we say it all the time, where you get to connect with people that you normally don't necessarily, you think you would meet or get, be in touch with. And so that allows me to do that. And, I find that the what you guys do just never gets enough, play in either, just education, from an education standpoint for people. Maybe it's the least sexiest part of the game in terms of what people think about when they think about the game, because it's a behind the scenes thing. Usually it's a, the golf course is the show, but, and the golf pro is just sort of the, I guess, as you said, the steward of the golf course, but it's not really, they're sort of like helping players, improve their games, but it's you guys that make those tracks playable on a daily basis. And I just like the idea of being able to have you guys on a regular basis to not only educate me, but our viewers, our listeners out there on the game of golf, and on a particular part of the game of golf that people don't realize how much work goes into what you guys do to make sure that the fairways and greens that are as beautiful or as ready to play as they can possibly be, given the circumstances of whether it's a public course like Bethpage that sees, I don't know how many thousands of rounds every day, or, whatever, every month, to private facilities like yourself. So it goes both ways, and I appreciate you allowing me to continue to do what I do.
Great. Yep. Good stuff. I think you hit on it all there. So we're proud to sponsor, and, communication is key in our world nowadays, and I think our association, other associations, the Golf Course Superintendent Association of America, has done a great job showcasing, what it takes to manage these golf courses around the country. So we've come a long way.
Yep, absolutely. But let's get to the juicy stuff, and that is your trip to Augusta National, the Graceland of the golf world. Talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about it as a patron. When you step onto those grounds, everybody says it's not necessarily it's not just a visual sensation, I guess, or a visual appeal that it has. There's a sort of spiritual appeal. There's something that you sort of sense in your bones. It's not just a feast for your eyes. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, you definitely know you're walking into a special place, and it's funny, you would never know that there's a golf course there. I'm sure people that have gone before can relate when you pull in.
Right.
But they provide free parking grounds, which is a fantastic perk that comes with going to the Masters. So you're able to park and then walk in through one of the gates. Fortunate enough to be a Class A superintendent in the Golf Course Superintendents Association, we're granted access into the event. So that's a really nice perk that comes with being a member superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
But really, for me, and I went with the superintendent for Plan Dome Country Club, Ken Frank, we were really blown away. I mean, you walk in, it's a typical event. It's almost kind of like when you walk into Disney World and you walk through the gates and you start walking down the street through Disney World, and they have the little shops. You walk in, you see all the beautiful landscaping, the buildings where they have the ticket lines and whatnot. But then, I mean, my jaw really dropped, I guess, as we walked through and we saw the big scoreboard that had all the players, and you basically funnel in right by the first hole, and you walk up to the first tee box, and I mean, it's just absolutely stunning. I remarked to a couple people, visually, when you get up to the first tee box and you see the clubhouse in the background, and you stand on the first tee and you can see the 18th green, the 9th green, and the 10th tee box, probably one of the most stunning, breathtaking views in all of golf when you're there, and that was really the wow factor I had. Almost I can relate it to the movie Rudy when his dad
right.
walked into when Notre Dame Stadium.
Sure.
That's how I felt, it was really special, and you get caught up in the, we went in with a plan that we wanted to try and obviously go in, you know, try and walk the back nine first, because it's, the back nine is probably the most famous back nine in the world.
Sure.
And right away you get caught up as a spectator, and watching guys tee off on the first tee and the first hole is incredibly challenging. So you're there and you listen to the actual members introduce each of the players. You watch them tee off. And, you know, our plan went right out, was thrown right out the window when we stepped up on the first tee box, and we were able to spend about the first 4 or 5 hours of the day, you know, on the front nine, which you really don't get to see a lot until Saturdays and Sundays of the event.
Right. When you walk in, I know you said your plan sort of went, what was the original plan, just other than walking, was it to walk the back nine and then the front nine, or
it was really to walk the back nine, you know, to kind of see, you know, to walk hole number 10, which to me, I mean, is my favorite hole in all of golf. And then, you know, to be able to go to Amen's Corner to see, you know, the 12th tee, the 13th hole, you know, before the patrons and before the golfers got there to kind of take it in. But the way that the golf course and Bobby Jones really set it up was it really is a spectator's event and a player's course, which makes it really, really special. So there's tremendous views throughout the whole property. And, you know, like I said, we got caught up with the golfers and, you know, wanting to follow, you know, some of the favorites early on. And, I mean, it was great, you know. It's a tremendously hilly course. I think anybody that's gone can tell you. That it's that the hills you walk on the golf course are pretty incredible. So you know, a lot of running this winter helped prepare us for that, because we were on our feet both days that we were there, pretty much from about 7:30 in the morning until 7:30 at night. So
yeah,
it really was.
Yeah, I was just going to say that one of the things that people would be surprised to hear is that caddies will call that basically one of the toughest you know, rounds of the year. You know, some people would think it would be, you know, like a Bethpage Black when they used to play the Barclays, and courses like that. But any caddy will tell you that's a brutal week for caddies. And so imagine, so just to give you an idea of that terrain that you're talking about, it's really, it's amazing how much, the elevation drops there at that place.
Yes, I think that's a great parallel, you know, Bethpage Black to Augusta. I think the Bethpage Black was the toughest walk I think I've ever had in my life, because I played there, and I think the first time I played there, I probably shot about 100. So that was a pretty tough walk carrying a bag.
Sure.
But, you know, in terms of what it would parallel, you know, Augusta and Bethpage, I would put them right there as, you know, one and two in terms of courses to go out and to walk. But it doesn't seem that bad when you're walking on such hallowed grounds, and you kind of, you know, get caught up in the moment and you forget about all the hills you're walking up and down, and you just kind of taking everything in as you go.
You and you know, how long did it take? I guess you were saying, you spoke to this a little bit about, but at what point was it, at that moment where you sort of looked on the veranda across off the first tee, that sort of you turned into a little kid for a second there, and you and Kenna kind of like, you know, like nudging each other, like, dude, this is unbelievable. Was it the moment that kind of happened?
You know, when it really happened, I guess when the New York in us came out, and we kind of like we weaseled ourselves right next to where the players came up on the first tee box and grabbed their scorecard and shook some of the members' hands, and so we're standing there, you know, a few feet away from the players, and we both looked at each other, and you know, we were just. I felt like little kids. Really did.
Yeah, that's great. Who are you guys watching?
Well, it's funny. We followed. What was great about the Thursday and Friday rounds was that you can obviously, Thursday is really kind of the first day, so golfers go out and shoot what they shoot, and then there's some separation into Friday. So, but originally we went out early Thursday. You know, we followed Phil around. We followed Jordan Spieth around. We got to see Jason Day. You know, Rory McIlroy. I mean, you know, we saw them. We saw them all on Thursday, and then Friday, when there was that separation, you know, we were able to follow Sergio around in the morning, and I believe I can't remember who he played with, but we followed him around for a good amount of time. We also followed on Thursday, I should say, we followed Stuart Hagestad around.
Oh, cool!
And it was impressive to watch him play. I mean, you know, to be an amateur and to go out there with the composure he went out with, and to actually win the low amateur award.
Sure.
Was something truly special for the Met area. We got caught up with following the popular players and who was in contention.
How difficult was it on Thursday? I mean, the winds were gusting, and you know, I say it all the time, golfers can handle, you know, most conditions, rain, even cold, but it's, you know, challenging wind conditions is really what gives them the most difficulty to deal with, just because they're so precise, so any slight change really can throw them off, and so that it must have been crazy watching them on Thursday.
Yeah, the two things that stick out the most were watching them on the 12th hole and the 15th hole. You know, obviously the 12th hole probably being the most famous par three in golf. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times every golfer came up to that tee box with a club. You know, the golfer and the caddy took some grass, put it in the air, watched to see which way the wind was blowing, then the wind would shift. And it probably took 3 or 4 minutes for golfers to figure out what shot they wanted to hit and what club they wanted to play.
Yeah.
And so that was really something to watch. And also, too, the 15th hole, which is obviously notorious for being a, you know, go for it in two, par five. I can't speak to the exact stats, but I'd have to say it was probably somewhere around 85 to 90% of the golfers were laying up that day, which was pretty cool to see, because you like to see him go for it, but you also like to see him kind of relate to golf in the way that we do when we go out and play every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And the crazy thing about that is what most people don't realize is that that third shot is no picnic, just because of that downhill kind of lie to a sort of perched up green. And probably another thing that TV has a way of flattening that out a little bit. And so that's
right. Yeah, I mean, you saw exactly. TV does not do justice to the slope and undulation of the greens at Augusta.
Yeah.
Obviously, you see it on television and people talk about it, but the second green in particular, when you look at that green, I mean, you think to yourself, it's amazing that the players can hit shots into that green and get the shot to hold with the slope that's on those greens. And the same thing with number 15. You know, it's almost a tabletop type green that falls off in the front and the back. And, you know, everybody kind of that watched on Thursday saw Jordan Spieth struggle with that green and I think he made a 9 on that hole.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, let's get to, I got to get to another bunch of commercials here, but we'll come back. We'll talk a little more Masters, a little more agronomy, a little more Masters agronomy, and a little bit of Long Island golf. So you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorcia. We're speaking with Tom Kaplan, North Hempstead Superintendent, Country Club Superintendent. Tommy, you're at the Masters. Maybe talk a little bit about, I mean, obviously it's a little unfair. The place is just unbelievably immaculate, and they have an unlimited amount, an unlimited budget, it seems like. But, you know, talk about it from a superintendent's standpoint. You and Ken walking the grounds, you must be, look at that, look at this, look at that, look how they do this. It must be a lot to notice, a lot to take in as a superintendent when you're wearing that part, that hat, I guess, if you will.
Sure, yeah. The thing about Augusta that was so unique is that, and you've hinted on this, how sophisticated they are with the management of the golf course, but how simple the golf course presents itself.
Right.
And that really is something that's truly unique about Augusta because, to put it in perspective, they only have four different cuts of grass there in terms of heights of cuts of grass. The greens being one height, the fairways and the approaches all being the same height, the tees being another height, and then they have a small amount of rough on the golf course. They have over 100 acres of fairway, which would be basically, to put that in perspective, would be about four times the size of the fairways at North Hempstead here.
Wow.
So, we were really taken aback by, the short grass, the fairway sizes out there. And just how simple it presented itself, in terms of how it looked as you were walking it. They had an inch and a half of rain on Wednesday night going into Thursday, and so there were some wet areas on the golf course, but they have these sub-air systems that they probably talked about. They talk about it quite a bit on television now.
Right.
Sub-air systems that were literally running for the 2 days we were there. They were running probably for 48 hours straight. That really can pull the moisture out of the greens. It seemed like they even had them in fairway landing areas, and you could hear the areas that they were basically drawing the water out of. You'd hear the air coming up out of these drain caps, and so that was pretty neat to see that. People made a big deal, well, some on television, about about there not being much color there this year, the rhododendrons and the azaleas.
Yeah, they bloomed a little early, right?
Right, they did bloom early, but in the time that we were there, obviously being golf course guys, I don't think we paid one bit of attention to any type of color on the golf course. it didn't take away from the experience one bit, and it kind of served as a good reminder to fans and the patrons that, even Augusta National deals with Mother Nature. There's only so much that you can control.
Yeah, if Mother Nature can get one by the Augusta National, it just goes to prove they can get it. She can get it by anybody, because if there's anybody who's a sort of master of the universe, it's that place. You spoke about the colors, but really the one color that you think about it when you think about Augusta National is the color green, and that's the green jacket and the green grass, and that you like to have the rhododendrons and the magnolias, everything blooming, but it's the green that captures you. It seems to me those almost carpet like fairways, and they used to think and to think you were talking about how much the they have the four cuts, but at one point, there was no rough at that golf course, the famous tiger proofing and all that stuff. So wherever that second cut of rough was, imagine there was none of that. Imagine the amount of fairways they would have had then at that point, because it was just strictly just all short grass.
Right. Well, it's all overseeded with ryegrass. And so I believe that Augusta closes from sometime in May till sometime in October.
Yep.
The golf course is completely closed. And they will allow the Bermuda grass to come up and let the Bermuda grass do its thing throughout the course of the summer. And then coming into the early fall, they'll overseed with ryegrass. And I can't imagine the amount of ryegrass that they use to get it as dense and pure as they do. But everything on the golf course is ryegrass when they play it, other than the greens, which are bent grass. So it certainly is just as green in person as it is on television. In fact, I think TV does a little bit of an injustice to it, because, you hear about them putting those lenses on to kind of make the courses look greener than they do.
Right.
And when you're in person, The green that you see on the golf course is kind of a darker green, you know, than it is on television. When I came home and I watched it on Saturday and Sunday, it almost looked like it was a little plush on television. But when you see it in person, it certainly doesn't appear to be plush. So that was pretty neat to see out there.
All right. So how much? I don't know if your wife's going to listen to this an hour later, but how much over your initial, I won't ask you what the budget was, but how much over the initial budget did you spend?
You know what? The pro shop was dangerous. You walk into the pro shop with a plan, and I mean, you can go in there and spend a small fortune in that pro shop.
So, sure.
I went in with a plan. I exceeded it by a little bit, but I'll ask for forgiveness later. Other than that, I did not go over budget one bit whatsoever. The concession prices, I'm sure everybody sees them. The concession prices are incredible. The quality of food is incredible. I mean, the setup that they have from the minute that you walk in terms of the patron service, I mean, it really is a parallel Disney World in terms of its customer service, because the people are so friendly, so accommodating. The lines move so quickly. It's so well orchestrated and so well run. That, you know, I really encourage anybody that ever has a chance to go, you know, never to pass up the opportunity.
Absolutely. How did Ken do in the pro shop?
I think Ken spent a little bit more than me. You know, he had a little bit more money in his pocket at the time. Ken only has two kids. I have three kids.
Ah, so, there you go.
You know,
sure.
I had to make a couple sacrifices, but, you know, that's okay. We both came out of that pro shop feeling pretty good, and we got what we wanted.
Favorite thing that you bought from there?
Yes.
What was your favorite thing you got from there?
Oh, I'm a big vest guy, so, you know, I bought a great Augusta vest in a lighter green color, that nice kind of like Armor Tech type material, and... of course, one of the traditional classic Augusta hats.
Nice.
I bought two of those, although they're going to my brother and my dad, so I'm hoping somebody else goes that I know sometime to pick me up one. So I'm sacrificing those for them, but those are pretty nice, too.
Absolutely. All right, we have like 3 minutes left, so I just wanted to just jump into a little bit of Long Island golf, but the winter, I guess, really wasn't that bad, so maybe just talk a little bit, maybe for our listeners, what can they expect from maybe golf courses around the world? I know you can around the Long Island. I know you really can't speak for other golf courses per se, but maybe just like sort of a heads up in terms of what the winter was like from a superintendent standpoint. I know different golf courses on Long Island receive sort of different amounts of snow or rain or whatever the case may be. But just in general, how did we came out of the winter, you think?
Sure. I mean, it was a great winter up until March, and then it got cold. And March was almost like a typical February is.
Right.
So, you know, what that does for golf courses, it kind of really delayed what we can do agronomically on the golf course, you know, the disruptive processes like aeration. We've come accustomed in the past few years to being able to get out as early in March as possible to be able to do that. So they come, you know, April, mid-April, there's very little interference with golf schedules at start. With the March that we had, a lot of programs were delayed until April. I think most golf courses around the area have pretty much caught up or are close to catching up, but you'll see a little bit of aeration and overlap into the golf schedule a little more this year than in years past. But it was, that being said, with the exception of March, it was a very favorable winter. For golf courses.
Is the first thing coming out of winter the most important thing from your standpoint? Is the aeration after the winter or after the March that we had? Is that the sort of most vital thing in terms of getting the course ready for play in the spring?
Yes, I would say number one is to let the course properly drain coming out of the wintertime, and to not rush to open up the golf course before it's ready to open up. You know, I kind of equated to, you know, running a marathon. Obviously, you have to train to run the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to let the golf course drain out properly. You have to let the condition set up so that you can then open the golf course. That's number one. And then number two, obviously, is going out and doing whatever agronomic practices you need to do, like aeration, to prep the golf course for the long haul of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And then let it breathe, right? That's what that aeration is for, and sort of gets sort of
It decompacts the soil. It allows for better root growth. You know, it makes for a healthier, more sustainable plant putting surface, playing surface. So, aeration's disruptive. Golfers don't like it. But to coin the term, it's been said many times, it's a necessary evil.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, always a pleasure to have you on. Look forward to the next time you're on. Look forward to golfing with you this season. And not only appreciate, just want to say thank you again, not only for your stewardship in terms of being a golf course superintendent, but for your educating us and our listeners and myself. But being part of the program as well, it's an honor to have you guys on board. It's been something that I've been wanting to do for a while. So it's just nice to have you in the On Par family. It just makes it feel like a true Long Island golf community now that you guys are a part of it.
Yeah, great, Anthony. Thanks a lot. Our association's really looking forward to taking part of it. I think we have some other good speakers that can come on and speak to some of the issues that superintendents and golf courses deal with, both on the course and off the course. And we're proud to be a co-sponsor of the program.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. Got to run, but look forward to having you on again.
Have a great Easter. Thanks, Anthony.
You too as well. Thank you. All right, that's it for today.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag, designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game. PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, folks, that's it for today's show. Have a great Easter. And we'll catch you next week on WGBP. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsese.